Romans chapter 4, verses 18 to 21. Our theme today is, do you believe that God has spoken to you? So I'm starting off our theme with a question, which is not my norm. My themes are more statements, but here there's a question, and this will be the theme of our sermon. Do you believe? Do you believe that God has spoken to you? Romans chapter 4, verse 18. Against all hope, Abraham in hope believed, and so became the father of many nations, just as it had been said to him, so shall your offspring be. Without weakening in his faith, he faced the fact that his body was as good as dead, since he was about 100 years old, and that Sarah's womb was also dead. Yet he did not waver through unbelief regarding the promise of God, but was strengthened in his faith and gave glory to God, being fully persuaded that God had power to do what he had promised. Do you believe that God has spoken to you? Father, we thank you, Lord, for the teaching of your word, for it is a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our path. It leads us and helps us every single day, O Lord. Without it, we're lost. So, Father, we open our hearts and our minds this morning to hear what you have to say. Father, I pray, Lord God, that if there's any of us that are struggling in our faith this morning, Lord, that we would be encouraged as you continue to chirp in our ears, as you continue to speak into our lives, O Lord, that we would be encouraged to know, Lord, that it is you who's talking to us. Father, we pray, Lord God, for a special anointing upon us today, Lord, as your word is already anointed. We pray in Jesus' name. And the church says, amen. You may be seated. Do you believe that God has spoken to you? As Christians, our faith is that God leads us through life. We believe that. We believe that God leads us through life. Whether in our high times or our low times, we believe that God is there. In our high times, he has led us there. And in our low times, he's helping to lead us out of those times. But we believe that God is always available to us. And he helps us and he leads us into all circumstances in our lives. The Bible teaches us that God is his personal. How many say amen? That he's personal. He's not a historical God who just lived in the past, but he is a personal God that dwells with creation, and he dwells in the present time, and he is alive and well. His attributes remind us of how personal he is. We say that God is loving. We say that God is merciful. We say that God is kind and God is faithful. We say that God feels and agrees with us, the scripture teaches us, right? So we come to understand these things, and to enjoy those attributes with God, he can only be a present God, not a historical or past God. We've come to understand through our teaching of scripture that he desires to have a personal relationship with his creation. I love that Jesus said these words in John chapter 10, verse 10. I've come that they would have life and that they would have it to the fullest. In Acts chapter 17, verse 27, speaking of God, it says this, that God did this so that we could seek him and perhaps reach out for him and find him, though he is not far from us, not far from any one of us. Reminding us that God is personal, that God is close to us. You see, the whole plan of redemption is that creation can have a relationship with his creator. It's the whole plan of redemption. Jesus died on the cross not so that we could be good religious people. Not so that we can come to church or wear a cross on our chest or say hallelujah when we're told to. But Jesus died on the cross that we can have, so that we can have a relationship with the Father. Jesus said these words. He said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. And no one will come to the Father except through me. Jesus died on the cross so that we could have a personal relationship with the Father. As he is one with the Father, that we also would be one with the Father. Because God is personal. Because he's personal, he speaks to us. He speaks to his people because he's personal, because he's not just historical, because he just doesn't dwell in the past, and he just doesn't dwell in the future, but he dwells in the present. And because his attributes show us that he's interested in our lives by telling us that he's kind and loving and faithful and good, present tense attributes, by understanding those things, we must come to the realization that God speaks to his people today. So today I ask you the question, do you believe that God has spoken to you? Do you believe that God has spoken to you? And if so, help me understand. Help me flesh out these three observations this morning with regard to the scripture that we have read. The first one is, believe God then for the things he has spoken to you. Believe God for the things that he has spoken to you. The Bible says that Abraham believed God for what God has spoken to him many years ago. God speaks to him, and God reminds him that there is a blessing for him. God speaks to Abraham and promises him that he would be the father of many nations. We see that in Genesis chapter 12. We see that in Genesis chapter 15, in Genesis chapter 16. In three different occasions, God speaks to Abraham and tells him things like, I'm going to make you into a great nation. I will bless you, and I will make your name great, and you will be a blessing. In Genesis 15, God tells Abraham, so shall your offspring be like the stars in the sky. In Genesis chapter 17, God speaks to Abraham and tells him, you will be the father of many nations. It's a word that was spoken to Abraham. 25 years have passed, and Abraham is now waiting for still those words that had been spoken into his life that he believed. That he believed. 25 years passed, and Abraham was waiting for Isaac to be born, and God promises come through. God's word comes through. God told Abraham that he would be the father of many nations. And I love that the Bible teaches that Abraham believed. And I love that the verse that we read in Romans chapter 4, verse 18 says, against all hope, Abraham in hope believed. Against all hope. Like saying, man, I'm 100 years old and she's just a little younger. Against all hope, against the impossible, Abraham believed. See, the Bible teaches us that what God speaks comes to pass. So believe what God has spoken into your life then. So Abraham had a waiting season, and you may have a waiting season, and I may have a waiting season. But the question is, do we believe that God has spoken into our life? And if we believe, then we know that God is faithful to his word. In fact, Isaiah says it this way in Isaiah 55:11. So in my word that goes out from my mouth, it will not return to me empty, but will accomplish what I desire and achieve the purpose for which I sent it. And he's saying, whatever I sent it to do, it will do. It will never come back void. In Numbers, it says, God is not man that he should lie, nor son of man that he should repent. He has said it, and he will not. He has said it, and will he not do it? Question mark. Or has he spoken, and will he not make good? In other words, God said it. It's going to come to pass. Do we believe the things that God has spoken into our lives? What is the Lord speaking into your life today? What is God stirring in your spirit this morning, in your devotional time? In the time when you set aside to be with God, know this, that if you set time to be with God, God will speak into your heart. And what are those things that God are speaking into your heart? What are those promises that God are speaking to you? We have general promises for all of us, right? We're reminded that God speaks to us and tells us that he will strengthen us. That's for all of us. Isaiah reminds us that. So do not fear, for I am with you. Do not be dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you and help you. I will uphold you with my righteous right hand. So we have general promises that are for all of us. He's promised us eternal life. Jesus said, I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me, though he may die, he shall live. And whoever lives and believes in me shall never die. Right? So we got promises that are general for all of us. And God speaks to us and he tells us that no temptation will be more than what we can bear, but he'll always allow a way out. That's a general word spoken for all of us. God speaks to us and tells us if we confess our sins, he's faithful and just, and he will forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. We're reminded that God will never forsake his people. So these are words and promises that are general and they speak to all of us. And I love that Joshua says these words in Joshua chapter 21, verse 45. Not one of the Lord's good promises to Israel failed. Every one was fulfilled. So there's these general promises, these words that God speaks into our heart. If we take time out to hear his word, take time out to read his word, allow him to minister, he knows our need. And in that right moment, he'll speak a word of need into our life. But there are promises also, and there are words, and there are God speaking, when God speaks particular things into our lives. They're just for you and they're just for me, the things that God speaks particularly into my life. And there are things that he speaks particularly into your life that you have come to know from God. And those are things that God is stirring up in our hearts. And maybe they have to do with our families. And maybe they have to do with ministry. And maybe they have to do with our daily walk. But we have this sense, well, you know, God is speaking to me, stirring something up in my heart. And I want to encourage you, usually God wants to speak to us about us first before he wants to speak to us about others. How many say amen? Amen. Because a lot of times people want to speak to us about what God is telling them for us, but let God minister to us first as well, and then he'll use us to minister to others. And the church says, amen. Right? But what is it then that God is speaking into your life with regard to your home, your family, to your finances, to your ministry, to the things that he is stirring up in you? If you take time out for God, he will absolutely always speak into your heart for you. Always. This is not just a religious relationship that we have responsibilities that we do, and at the end of the day, we feel good because we prayed, because we read the Bible, because we did our devotion, so we kind of feel good, check mark. It's not how it works, right? We set time out because it's an opportunity where we empty ourselves of our own selves, and we allow God to speak into our hearts and fill us with his very presence and his very will and his very strength and his very power. He begins to do that with us, and it's those intimate times when we hear the word of the Lord for us. And the church says, amen. So it's important to have those times. And as we do, the Lord speaks into us. You ever get that sense that the Lord is just kind of just stirring something new in your heart for you, right? Something for you. And you're like, the Lord, but we are human, right? We are, it's like, how do I know it's really me? How do I know it's really God and not me? I'm an emotional being. If you hang out with me long enough, you'll know I'm emotional, right? I have a competitive spirit. I have all these things that I struggle with too, right? So I'm an emotional person. And if you hang out with me long enough, you'll see that. And sometimes I know that my emotions have gotten the best of me. And how do I know that it's God and not my emotion that's chirping in my own heart? So some things that I do for us that Becky and I practice in our own lives, I want to encourage you with them today so that you can know that God is speaking into your life. And the first thing is normally the chirping of the heart, right? There's this sense that God, I've never heard the audible voice of God. I've known God has stirred things up in my heart. Thoughts have come into my mind that I know that was the Holy Spirit that has stirred those thoughts in my mind. And where do we see that confirmation though? How do we confirm that? So there's a few things that you can do when you feel God is speaking into your life. The first thing is what God speaking into your life affirmed in scripture, right? Because sometimes God is speaking to our lives, you know, to do certain things and go certain ways and handle certain things in ways that are not scriptural. So you can be sure if it doesn't align itself with scripture, then it's absolutely not God speaking into your life. We can be sure if there's any type of manipulation, any type of lying, any type of cheating, any type of anything that is outside of God's will, then you can outside of God's scripture, you can kind of write that off. That was my own emotion. I was just so bitter, or I was just so angry, or I was just so whatever it could be that I began to do this or stir this way or think this way. So that would not be God's will, first way. The second thing is, how do you know when God is chirping into your ear? It aligns itself with God's will. The second thing is godly counsel. So I love godly counsel. The Bible teaches us that where there is no guidance, a people fall. But in the abundance of counselors, there is safety. The Bible teaches us plans fail for lack of counsel, but with many advisors, they succeed. So when God is chirping something in your heart and you're not sure if it's God or if it's me or if it's our own selves, well, does it align itself with God's word? And let me see what others say. I have been in many situations where I have a council of people around my life that I constantly go to, and some are in this church and some are not. And I go to them and I begin to share my heart with them. And a lot of times they'll say, "Hey, I don't see God in that, and that's a good sign for me." Now, I know human will, and I know that no one is perfect, and some may make mistakes, but if we look at the counsel of those that we really have entrusted our lives to, and people who we see as godly and in touch with God, if there are many of them that are saying, "I would be careful here, it doesn't seem like God is really speaking to your life," that would be a clear sign that that was your emotion and not God speaking to you. So that's important. The third thing that confirms that God is speaking to us is, has God opened the door? You know, there's a great story. Jorge preached on Gideon a few weeks ago. And Gideon, he has this situation where he says this in Gideon's chapter 6. "If now I have found favor in your eyes, give me a sign that it is really you talking to me. Please do not go away until I come back and bring my offering and set it before you." And sometimes we need to give God a real sign that says, "Lord, if this is really you, you chirped into my heart. It aligns with your word. The people are telling me this seems like it's you. Give me a sign. Open a door." And I'm not talking about no craziness like I go outside and there's a cloud shaped as a heart, right? I'm talking about something that really makes you feel, man, this is God speaking to us. And you will walk away so sure and affirmed. And regardless of the walk before you, you will walk in faith because you know without a shadow of a doubt that God has spoken into your heart. And the church says, amen. See, the teaching here is to be sure that God is speaking to us. You need all three of these, I believe. All three of these to confirm and ratify God's will. And I would suggest that you cover them all in prayer. Cover them all in prayer. And you will see that God will confirm, and then he will strengthen you and enable you to make all those decisions and to walk before him in complete transparency, in complete obedience, seeking his will for your very life. I remember in 2006, and 2006 is the year that I came on full time. Before the opportunity to go on full time, I had had a stirring in my heart, desiring full time ministry. It was a stirring in my heart, right? It was something that I had shared with those close to me, shared with my wife, obviously, and it was a stirring in my heart. And then in one board meeting, a conversation was cultivated that our church is getting ready or is ready for a second full time minister. I was an assistant pastor at that time, and I thought, "Lord, you've been stirring this up in my heart, and the opportunity may be coming." And they offered that opportunity. I sought counsel. I sought the word of God. I put it before the Lord in prayer, and then I saw the Lord open the opportunity, bring the sign. And though there was a walk of faith involved in this, 13 years later, I can say I've lived better than I've ever lived before. Right, I share that with you as a story to remind you that when God speaks into your heart, it will align itself with his word. The counsel will be good counsel, and the signs will all lead to God's perfect will in your life. And you can then be encouraged to know and believe that God has spoken to you. And the church says, amen. Our second thought this morning, with regard to this, do you believe that God has spoken to you? Our second thought is, faith is a requirement even when God speaks. Faith is a requirement even when God speaks. You know, some think if God said it, it should come easy. If God said it, man, the door should just, boom, be opened wide for us. If God speaks, man, you know, things should move easier. Isn't he the all-powerful God? And things should just unfold before our eyes? No. Even when God speaks, the element of faith is a requirement. We must always remember where faith is needed, obstacles will exist. Where faith is needed, obstacles will exist. Things will not always come easy to us, but that's where we've come to understand. I've heard the word of the Lord. It has aligned itself with God's will. The counsel has been right. I've seen the signs, and although it may not be easy, I'm believing God that he has spoken to us. For Abraham, it was a reminder to him. 25 years have passed. And I know that God has spoken to us. And that's why verse 19 says, without weakening in his faith, he faced the fact that his body was as good as dead since he was about 100 years old and that Sarah's womb was also dead. That's crazy, right? Without weakening in his faith. Why? Because he had known that God had spoken to him. So regardless that I'm 100 years old and my wife is just a little younger, regardless that our wound is dead and this is not going to work no more according to the natural, my faith is not placed in the obstacle, but my faith is placed that I know that God has spoken to me. It has been assured in his word, confirmed through counsels, and the doors are open. And what I do is wait on his will to come through. Right? So we understand that faith is always a requirement, even when God speaks to us. The Bible says that he did not weaken in his faith. I love the thought here. It means that he didn't even consider the thought that he was 100 years old. That's what the thought is in the original language there. That he did not even consider. And I know there's another time that it speaks of him laughing, but he wasn't laughing in mockery. Sarah was. That's why she had to deal with a repercussion. He was laughing in joy, believing that God's will would come to pass. Right? And it's clear to us here that I love that he's saying, I did not even consider the fact that I was 100 years old. Because God said it. And if God said it, it will come to pass. I want to remind you here this morning. I love verse 12. Yet he did not waver through unbelief regarding the promise of God, but was strengthened in his faith and gave glory to God. Do not waver in the things that God has spoken into your heart. Do not waver in them. You believe that God is doing something great in your home and in your family, then you believe that. You believe that God is stirring something up in your life, then you believe that. You believe that God is calling you for a new level of ministry, you continue to believe that. There is an element of faith that's involved. Do not waver in what God has spoken into your life. He is not man to lie, nor son of man to repent. If he has said it, it will come to pass. So I want to encourage you this morning. Don't remove the element of faith in our walk with God. If God has spoken, then we believe, even if the circumstance before us seems cloudy. We put our faith not in the circumstance, but we put our faith in the word of God. Just because God has spoken into our lives, it doesn't mean that it will come without the element of faith. Could it be that some of us have heard the word of God, but we have not responded according to the way that God has wanted us to respond? We have not trusted him for his very word, and we've lost out on the blessing that he has for us. Could it be that God has stirred into our hearts and have told us, like he has spoken to Abraham, have told us that we would be the father of many nations, illustrating Abraham's life for us today? Spoken a word like that of life into our lives, and because we just could not believe, we've lost it. You see, this is very biblical. God speaks to Noah and tells Noah, hey, build an ark. It's going to rain, and the flood waters are going to destroy the earth. It had never rained before, and Noah had to build an ark, and he did not know how long he would have to build an ark, and he built an ark for 120 years. Right? Why? Why did Noah build the ark? Because it had rained? No. He built an ark because God had spoken to him. And he did not remove the element of faith. And when the storms came, him and his family were cared for. Why? He had heard the word of the Lord. And he did not allow the obstacles to hinder him. But he functioned in faith, believing God. And the church says, Don't remove the element of faith when God speaks into your life. Remember Moses? God tells Moses, hey, go into Egypt. Take my people out of captivity. Moses has a conversation with God, and he goes. There was an element of faith there that cannot be undermined. Where would provision come from? Where would food come from? Where would water come from? Where would protection come from? The only thing that Moses knew was that God had told him that he was going to take him into a land that flowed milk and honey. That was the word that God has spoken to his life. I'm going to take you into a land that will flow milk and honey. Right? And at that moment, all he could do was just wait on God. The element of faith has to kick in. And then God gave him manna, and God gave him water from a rock, and God sweetened the water, and God provided light during the nighttime and direction during the daytime and protection at night and protection at day. They walked the dry land, and they saw quail, and they saw God's hand, and they heard the voice of God from the mountain, and they saw all those things, and they believed God for it. But Moses just walked off the mountain into Egypt, not knowing how those things would plan out. We got the whole picture now, but he didn't. What helped him? That God has spoken to his life. And he believed. Do you believe when God has spoke into your life? Has spoken into your life. Do you believe it? Don't remove the element of faith. We could talk about Daniel, his unwavering faith to pray in the midst of hardship. And it cost him the lion's den. But yet, God's provision was there for him. I want to encourage you this morning. I want to encourage you. And as I ask you today, do you believe that God has spoken to you? Then believe that God has spoken to you. And don't remove the element of faith. For you and I to live in the promise of God, we cannot remove the element of faith. Some think that it will just come easy. I want to tell you that I believe that God is speaking into our hearts today with regard to our church. It's a season that God has stirred up in many of our hearts. And Becky and I have this stirring in our hearts. And we've shared it with our pastors and our church board. And they have all the same stirring in their hearts. And if we share it with the church membership, we see that many have the same stirring in their hearts. And we believe that God is calling our church for increase. We believe that God is calling our church for increase. We believe that God is calling our church not for the glory of the church in no way at all. It's for the God to be glorified in us. And he may remove some of us from this whole process, and he'll still continue to do what he wants to do because it has nothing to do with any of us but his particular will in this place, right? So, but we believe that it's a season that God is doing something in the church, but we cannot just wait for it to happen. We must function in the element of faith. And that says, well, then let's build a building that says we'll be ready when they come. And that says, well, let's prepare our leadership and our pastors for the service. And let's prepare our leadership ready to serve. And let's get ready. Let's walk in the element of faith that says, let's not just sit and wait for God to do it, because then it will never happen. If God has spoken into our hearts, then we must believe and we function in the element of faith. And that ratifies the call, that ratifies what God wants to do. It's us speaking to God, saying, God, we trust you for the things that you have stirred in our hearts. And the church says, I just want to encourage you this morning. What do you believe for your life? And what do you believe for your family? What do you feel like God is speaking into your life this morning? You know, I want to encourage you not to just sit there and wait. Don't exclude the element of faith, but believe God for it. God is calling us into a relationship with him like never before. And it demands consecration, and it demands obedience. And this is not easy. There are things that we'll need to give up, and things that we'll need to surrender, and things that we'll need to begin to do faithfully. It's not easy. But do you believe that you're hearing the voice of God that's calling you into a new level of consecration and a new level of obedience? Do you believe it? Do you believe that God is calling you for a new level of ministry? Do you believe it? Then walk in this element of faith. Maybe you're going through a storm in your life right now. Maybe you're going through a hard time, but the voice of the Lord is telling you, I'm with you. I'm with you. The Bible reminds us that God will never forsake us or never leave us. And God is telling you, you know, I'm with you in this storm of your life. It may not seem easy, but don't remove the element of faith as you battle the storms in your life. Maybe this is a season where where in your life God is speaking into your heart about ministerial growth and about functioning more in your gifts, and you feel like God is doing something in your life, and you sometimes get a little concerned because it's a busy life and it's a busy season and what to do. But do you believe that God is speaking into your life to this morning, in this season of your life? If so, then believe God for it and don't remove the element of faith. To inherit the things that God is speaking to the lives, we cannot remove the element of faith. We must trust God. It will not come easy, but when we walk by faith, we will see God glorifying himself. We will see it. Remember the woman of the issue of blood? For 12 years, she had been sick, and she believed that if she can just touch the mantle of Jesus, she would be healed. She had obstacles. Her faith, her health, the multitude, the mere fact that she was a woman was an obstacle, but she believed, and it was a credit to her, and she received healing in that day. I want to remind you today that God is speaking into our lives. It's a season where he is speaking into our hearts. Believe God for it, and don't remove the element of faith. And the church says, our last point this morning, our third point this morning, is there's nothing impossible for God. Verse 21, being fully persuaded that God had power to do what he had promised. There's nothing impossible for God. Abraham believed God and it was credited to him. And he believed God and he saw God's will fulfilled in his life. There is nothing impossible for God. One of God's attributes is that he's omnipotent, all powerful. There's nothing impossible for him. Right? Jesus looked at some men on an occasion and he said, with man this is impossible, but with God all things are possible. Job, at the end of his encounter with God, he says, I know that you can do all things, no purpose of yours can be thwarted. We are reminded that God is all powerful and nothing is impossible for him. Scripture teaches us that God can help his people get through any hard circumstance in their lives. Because he said that he would, he will. And because he could, he will. We're reminded that David knocks down a giant with a stone and a slingshot. What made the difference there? God. In Scripture, we see the mouth of lions closed. What made the difference? God. In Scripture, we see the walls of a city come tumbling down. Why? Because God was there. In Scripture, we have seen small armies defeat large ones. In Scriptures, we have seen the unlearned men turn cities upside down. What is the common denominator? God. Do you believe that God has spoken into your life? Do you believe that he is stirring something new within you? What is it that dwells in your heart? What is it that God wants to remind you that you will get through, that he is there, that he is helping you, that he will not abandon you or forsake you? Well, what is it that God is stirring in your heart? I want to tell you that there's nothing impossible for God. Maybe God is just dealing with you about being a better you. And you're saying, man, I'm having a hard time being a better me. I want to tell you that with God, all things are possible. Don't do it on your own. The Lord will help you. Maybe God is talking to you about forgiveness, about releasing some things in your life, about embracing some people in your life, about doing some new things. Maybe, and you're saying, man, this is too hard for me. Don't remove the element of faith. Be persuaded that God has the power to do what he has promised to do. Perhaps this has to do with your home or your matrimony, your finances, or whatever it may be. Know that in your strength, you probably can't, but empowered by God, there's nothing that you cannot do in his will, in the things that he has spoken to your life. That your faith may not rest in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God, is what the Apostle Paul writes in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 5, that we would trust God. So as I conclude our teaching this morning, I want to remind you, I want to ask you, do you believe that God has spoken to you? We have general things that God speaks to all of us, and I mentioned some of those things. And they're corporate for the church. But and then there are things that God speaks into our hearts. Whether they're corporate for the church or whether they're personal for us, do you believe that God has spoken to you? See, if you don't believe the corporate or the personal, then it's hard to embrace the rest of it. But if you believe that God has spoken to your heart, then know that whatever God says will come to pass. If you struggle with knowing the absolutes, well, I shared with you what we do in our family, in our lives, what Becky and I do. What do? We seek the word of God, and we seek counsel, and we ask God to open doors, right? And in that process, as we pray for those things, we see God do it, and it affirms the very chirping of his voice in our hearts, and it reminds us that he has, so we believe. But when God speaks, it doesn't mean that it will come easy. It doesn't mean that the doors fly open. It doesn't mean that the carpet is rolled out for us. And it doesn't mean that it all comes easy. There must be an element of faith. In fact, we believe that God speaks so that you can have faith and trust his word for it. There must be an element of faith. We must come to understand that God is speaking to us, and we must trust him for his word, not removing the element of faith. That may mean you have to build an ark for 120 years and wait for the word to come. That may mean, right, that you will have to walk into Egypt and say, Lord, I don't know how provision will come, but provision will come because you said that you're taking us to a land that flows milk and honey. And God, through the process, he will continue to show himself to you. But don't remove the element of faith, because if you do, you never get to see the glory. You never get to see the things that God has spoken into your life, spoken into your heart. You never get to see them because you remove the element of faith. And remember, why could you be sure to function in faith? Because there's nothing impossible for God. Because he can do it. There's nothing that he can't do. He empowers the natural things and they become supernatural. He empowers us in our circumstances to be able to overcome and have strength to do those things. And he moves mountains and he works things out according to his will and his way. And he does it, why? Because we've trusted him for his word. Because we've trusted him for his word. So today, as I conclude our teaching today, do you believe that God has spoken to you? If you believe, live in that. And you will get to enjoy all the promises that God has for you, whether they're corporate or whether they're personal. And the church says, I'm going to invite you to stand this morning. Father, all that we have is your word. Without it, we're lost. It leads us and guides us. It's a compass for life. And as we see how you have dealt with your people through history and how your word speaks to us today, we're reminded, Lord God, that you're doing some new things in our lives. Father, if we're here today and we sense a coldness with regard to you speaking to us, it's probably because we haven't positioned ourselves to hear your word. I pray, oh Lord God, that every one of us that are here today, we would take time out for you, Lord, not to do our religious responsibilities, but Lord, really to allow you to speak into our hearts, to assure the corporate promises, and to allow us to hear the individual promises and words that you have for us, oh Lord. Lord, and as we take our time, because you're a personal God, you're not just historical. So we'll believe you, Lord, for the things that you have spoken to our hearts. And we have come to understand, Lord, that it's not always easy to believe, but we will function, Lord God, regardless of what the circumstance will look like. We will function in faith, oh God. We will not remove the element of faith because we know that there's nothing impossible for you, because you're God. And there's nothing impossible for you, Lord. And because there's nothing impossible for you, Lord, we, Lord God, will believe what you have spoken into our hearts. And as Abraham's descendants were so numbered that the stars of the sky, like the stars of the sky and the sand of the seas, we will also see the very things that you have spoken into our lives, O Lord. Father, I pray, O Lord God, today that the teaching, Lord God, would not just resonate with us today, Lord, but that it would resonate with us every day of our lives. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. If you're here today and the Lord is speaking to you and you would like prayer, as we sing this next song, the altar is open. I want to encourage you to come to the altar. We want to pray with you this morning. And from what I heard, I don't think we have any visitors. But if there's someone here today who's still far from God, maybe you're not a visitor, but you haven't been intentional in hearing God's voice for your life. And you feel like, I've kind of rode the wave of being religious. And I haven't heard God speak into my heart for me. And I feel good on Sundays because the worship ministry makes me feel good. And I hear a teaching and I leave feeling a sense of doing the right thing. And I'm making my family happy that I'm here. But God wants to speak to you personally because He's a personal God. And He's got a word for you. And if you believe Him for it, you'll see the very things that He has for you. If you're here today and you like prayer as we sing the next song, the altar is open. God bless you. God keep you.
Great is your mercy.
Thank you for taking the time to listen to this sermon. We pray it blesses and encourages your life.